Today's shir is dedicated for Eschus, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Ayin Vav, and we will begin at the first words of the Amid, Daf Emes Seifa. In our previous shir, the Gemara posed the question. Rabbi Elazar had taught us in that shir that a person could be made for a nether even before it was expressed. And the question the Gemara posed, according to Rabbi Elazar's opinion, how is that to be understood? Is that to be understood that the nether becomes a nether, and then a second later, it automatically becomes nullified? Or is the nether not a nether in the first place? And the Gemara had quoted a braisa that spoke about going to the mikveh and using that as a proof. That was the last words that we had a previous year, that the fact that Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim use the halachas of going to a mikvah, that is a proof that the nether, if you hold that you can make a hafara before it was expressed, it means that the nether is not a nether in the first place. But ask the Gemara Emes Seifa, let's continue learning that braisa. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, the Chacham said to Rabbi Elazar, that you are of the opinion that something that was never in effect, it's easier to be mevatel, it's easier to nullify than something that was in effect and now you need to nullify it. Im matbilim kei tamei, if we could take a keli which is tamei and put it into the mikveh to be metarit, certainly we should be able to take to the mikveh keli, which is not tamei, and put it into the mikveh to use that immersion in the mikveh to accomplish lecheshiyat tamei, that if it will be exposed to tamei, letoher. So we see that since tefillah doesn't help, and if you're going to take a keli that's not tuma to the mikveh, it would be a meaningless immersion. Similarly, they say that being made for a nether prior to the nether having even been expressed is a meaningless act. That is what the Chachamim say to Rabbi Elazar as a proof from Hilchas Mikvah against his position that one can make a hafara before that nether was even expressed. Shema mina. But what do we see from here? The Chaylin, that the nether becomes a nether, even if there was a hafara prior to the nether be saying, and then afterwards it becomes nullified. Because, says the Gemara, we're comparing hafara of a nether to tefillah in the mikveh. And they're saying to Rabbi Elazar that just like a keli that was taken to the mikveh and then becomes tamei, that the halacha should be that original tefillah should take off the tumah. The same thing with hafara, the hafara should be able to take off the nether. But what do we see? That the tumah we're speaking about is obviously a tumah that happens. Because if it isn't a tumah that happens, I wouldn't need a tefillah. So the argument that the Chacham are making to Rabbi Elazar, according to his opinion, is that it ought to be that just like by going to the mikveh even before you had the tumah, the tefillah should be helpful, but it doesn't mean that the tumah isn't there. It means the tumah is there, but the tefillah is helpful. Here too, the same. But we see from this discussion, suggests the Gemara, taking a keli, that the tumah does happen. And similarly, by hafara, the nether does happen. So isn't that a proof that even if you could do a pre-hafara, all the pre-hafara accomplishes is that the nether should happen and it should be automatically removed? Amri, says the Gemara, they said in the yeshiva, this is not a compelling proof. Because Amri, they said in the yeshiva, Rabbanan l'kayim l'hu b'tam d'Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbanan weren't quite certain how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And they were saying to him, my sphere, look, we're trying to understand your opinion. Isfirloch chaylim b'teilim. If you're going to hold that the nether that you made a pre-hafara on becomes a nether and then is nullified, tavik kli kiyuftach. That halacha is, then the question is why if you took a keli to the mikvah, how does it, before it become tamei, why does it become tamei? Vilay sfirloch the chaylim. And if you hold that it doesn't happen in the first place, then what we discussed in the previous year, the halacha ought to be that a person who's in the mikvah should not be able to become tamei, but we know there is a concept of toivel v'sheretz b'yadai. So the Shas Metshuvas Maril says that Al Gemara says that taking a keli to the mikvah when it's still tar, that that tefillah should help, that if it becomes tamei, that mikvah going should prevent that tumor. Says the Gemara, that says the Shas Marul, a very important halacha. We know that when we buy kalim from an akum, the halacha is we have to take it to the mikvah. So let's say somebody there's a store that's owned by a non-Jew who wants to do a service for his Jewish customers. He knows he has many Jewish customers, and I'll take those kalim to the mikvah while they're still under the ownership of the akum. The halacha is that it's just like here. Taking a keli to the mikvah before it became tamei is a meaningless act. Similarly, taking a keli while it's still under the ownership of an akum is a meaningless act. The Mordechai in Masechet Pesachim actually quotes a machlokes rishonim. If somebody was mevatel chametz before Pesach, and now we have Pesach, does it become usher again? And he quotes that a Rav Yoh, that even if you did bittul on the chametz before Pesach, that won't help you for during Yontif. Because he suggests that chametz only becomes chametz. And this is a very fundamental question whenever we discuss the halachos of chametz. Could something be considered chametz before Pesach? Because the whole issue of chametz is only an issue on Pesach. Before Pesach, there's nothing that could become chametz. So if somebody was mevatel chametz before Pesach, one can make an argument, says the Rav Yoh, that it's not a meaningless bittel. It's not a meaningful bittel. Because just like you can't take something which is tar to the mikvah before it becomes tamei, so too, being mevatel as because of its chametz, you can't do it before it becomes chametz, before chametz becomes an issue. And chametz only becomes an issue on Pesach. It's not a perfect comparison. And the reason why it's not a perfect comparison, because as we often discuss, what does bittel really accomplish? What bittel really accomplishes is that it's an act of hefker. The fact that it has the fact that it falls into the category of chametz or doesn't fall into the category of chametz is immaterial. It's not chametz. It's an act of hefker. And you can always be mafker something, no matter when you want to be mafker. You can always be mafker something, just like, and it has nothing to do with it being chametz or not. You have every right to be mafker it. The Gemara goes to attempt another way of answering this question. How does the mechanics of, according to Belezer, being mevatel, we made for another before was said work. The Tarek HaKadosh says, regarding Tumah Sheretz, V'chiyipa menevlas makal zera zeruah shizora tahu. And from here we learn that if something became Tamei and then it was replanted in the ground, the halacha is that it becomes Tahar. But of course the halacha is, all the Rishonim say, that planting in the ground means that it takes root in the ground. Just because you stick it into the ground, that is inadequate to make it tahar. So Tashma, Amalam Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer said to the Chama, Maz Roim Tameim. When we speak about Zroim Tameim, Kivin Shazarim Bakarka, as soon as they're planted in the ground, they become tahar. Certainly, Zroim Va'imdim, anything that was already planted, Loi Koshke should not become Tomei. So he's saying to the Rabbanon, even though they is something that's tamei by planting into the ground becomes tar, something that's in the ground certainly should become tar. So the same thing should go regarding hafara. If a nether which already was said could be mufer, certainly a nether which wasn't said could be mufer. Shmamina. But the fact that Rebbe Lezer is using this as a source for his point, we see from here that saying the hafara is like planting, is like having something planted in the ground. Something that's planted in the ground doesn't become tummy at all. Similarly, the halach ought to be that a nether that was mufer doesn't become a nether at all. So says the Gemara Shmamina, shouldn't this be a proof that Rebbe Lezer's understanding is that loy chaylin, that the nether is not effective at all? Ask the Gemara, v'loy rabbanan loy darshi kol v'chaymer. So now, the Gemara asks a interesting question. Rebbe Lezer just made a very compelling argument. Rebbe Lezer just made a very compelling argument why pre-hafara should work from planting something in the ground. And the Gemara is going to prove that the Rabbanon agree to these kind of kal v'chaymer. And why, therefore, don't they agree with the kal v'chaymer here? Ask them, Rebbe Rabbanon lo darshi kal v'chaymer. Do the Rabbanon not learn such a kal v'chaymer? For Tanya, we learned din, the halacha is that a father has a right to sell his daughter who's a ketana as a oma avriya, as a Jewish maid. When she becomes a nara, the halacha she goes off free. Yochel, so the braisa discusses yochel yom cha adam bita kishinara. The halacha maybe should be that a person should be allowed to sell his daughter while she is already a nara. Amr, to which they say, of course not, because we say the following kal v'chaymer mechura kfar. A woman that was already sold as a mavriya, yoitza goes out when she is a nara. So a woman that's ain't a mechura, that wasn't even sold, ain't a din, certainly the halacha ought to be that shloi timachar, that she should not be allowed to be sold. So we see that, and this is a braisa that was said even according to the chamim. So we see from here that if something can be done or undone afterwards, it certainly should be able to be done or undone, better said, beforehand. So why would the Chamim not learn this kal v'chaymer? Answers the Gemara, in all areas of halacha, the alma darshi kal v'chaymer, the Chamim would learn such a kal v'chaymer. So why don't they learn the kal v'chaymer here? Shani hacha, but here it's very different. Dama kra, because the Torah is very specific by saying, Ishi kimeno of Ishi yifurena, to teach us a Shabala klal hekim, and as we discussed in our previous year, everybody agrees that a nether, that hakama, everybody agrees that hakama is only passable before the nether only after the nether was said. And the Torah connects the halachas of kiyum with the halacha of afara, to teach us a Shabala hekim, a nether which could have hakama, Bala klal hafer could have afara, whereas a shloi bala klal hekim, which a nether which can't have a comma, which means prior to the nether being said, a comma is impossible. Such a nether also, loi bala klal hafer, can never have hafara. And that is the basis for the Chachamim's opinion. The kav chaymer would be maybe compelling that you could make a pre hafara, but the pasuk teaches us that so is not the case. There's a very interesting question. If somebody loses a close relative, we know he becomes an oinen, Rechman Tzlan. Oinen is potter from all the mitzvahs, he doesn't say brachas, he doesn't daven. But what would be the halacha if somebody's close relative, his father, his mother, Rechman Tzlan, die on Shabbos, or they die right before Shabbos, but the levai will only be after Shabbos? Then the halacha is that he does daven, and he does say, and he does daven. So now the question is, and he does say brachas. The question is, does he say kaddish? It's before the kfura. So it's a machloikus, the Taz and the Shach. The Taz's opinion is that we could say kaddish. The kaddish could be said even though the person has not yet been buried and the avelis has not begun. The Shach disagrees that you can't say Kaddish before the Kvura. only after the kfura, because he says the point of saying Kaddish is to save that neshama from Gehenim, and there is no Gehenim until after the kfura. Ramesha, and the Shal Sechuvas Igris Ramesha, Yoyredei Echel Gimel Simen Kufches, says that the minig is to follow the opinion of the Shach, but he says, because he says even the Taz certainly agrees with what the Shach just told us, there is no Gehenna before the Kfura. He says that it doesn't, that if one follows the opinion of the Taz, it's not because the Taz fundamentally disagrees with the Shach. The Taz agrees that there's no Gehenna. But he says saying a Kaddish for a close relative is always going to be something positive for that neshama. And he brings a raya, Ramosha brings a raya from our Gemara. He says, our Gemara just says that if a girl who's a Nara and became an Amavriya, if you have a girl who's Amavriya and she becomes a Nara, she's released. Certainly, if she's a Nara, she cannot be sold. So he says that the same Kavachoyma says, Ramosha says, if Kaddish or other mitzvahs that a children do on behalf of the neshama of the parents help them after they had the din, which every person is going to have a din v'cheshbon after he comes to Shemayim, certainly they could be helpful before the din, every schus could be helpful for them before the din, and maybe it'll be helpful that the din will not be as strong as it would have normally been. And he goes on to say that not only is that shot in the Taz, he says that even the Shach maybe agrees on a conceptual level. He says what the Shach means to say is that one is not obligated to say Kaddish. We know that after a close relative, after a parent dies, there's an obligation to say Kaddish. So the Shach says that that obligation doesn't apply. And that's where the Shach is disagreeing with the Taz, who says the one is obligated to say Kaddish. But it could, will be that that the Shach would agree that it is appropriate to say Kaddish because we're doing a toiva for that neshama. And Ramosha writes that the Geshur Chaim actually therefore says that many people have the minig to follow the opinion of the Taz, but he says that there's sort of a new opinion. The Taz says that one is obligated to say Kaddish. The Shach says one isn't obligated to say Kaddish. But maybe everybody agrees, and he says that could be the compromise that both the Shach and the Taz agree, that one's not obligated to say Kaddish, but one may say Kaddish. As we've been discussing throughout this perek, the halacha is that if a father or a husband hear the nether, they have the biyom shamay. The halacha is that long that day they have to be mefer. If that day passes, then you can't be mefer. Says the Mishnah, first nadarim kol hayom. The first nadarim is the entire day. Yesh bedavar lahakol hachmer. Sometimes it represents a longer time one is given to do the hafara, and sometimes it represents a lesser time to do the hafara. And the Mishnah right away illustrates. Ketzad. Nodra b'leil Shabbos. A woman made a neder Friday night. Yofa b'leil Shabbos. The husband can be made for the entire Friday night. B'yom Shabbos, and it can be made for the entire day. Atcha tachshach. So in that tais, there is a long time to do a hafara. You have from Friday night till Matzah Shabbos. But let's say Nodra im Chashecha, and let's say she made a nether. It's not that she made the nether right before dark. Maybe she made the nether earlier, but they only heard the nether earlier. Mefer at Shalai Tachshach. The halach is that he can mefer only for a couple of minutes until it becomes night, and that's a chumra. Im Choshka v'lai hefer, and therefore if it becomes night, he shuv any yachal offer, it becomes now too late to be mefer. So the Ran says, why does the Mishnah speak specifically that this neder took place on Friday night? So the Ran says the Mishnah is trying to teach us, and this is going to be a big subject that we're going to be learning in the Gemara, that Hafaras Nadarim can be done on Shabbos. And it can be done any time of Shabbos, but only till Matzah Shabbos. And I saw that the Sefer Yadus Nadarim says that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that we know normally there's a halacha of Tais for Shabbos. One has to keep Shabbos past the actual Zman. But in the time of Tais for Shabbos, it's already Matzah Shabbos. You're keeping Tais for Shabbos, then it's going to be too late to be made for the Neder. Another point that the Shalmei Darim comes to teach us, that the halacha is that a new question. A woman made a Neder. She said she's not going to eat something. Let's say it's a food that's meant to be eaten, and she says she's not going to eat that food. So now when she made the nether, it ought to become, she made the nether right before Shabbos, that food should become muksa. So even if the father, the husband, whatever the situation is, hear of her nether, the halacha is that the food is muksa, because we know that when we speak about Hilchas Muksa, the halacha is Migadis Gatzoy Leben Shmashis, is Gatzoy Lekulayoyme. Once it became Muksa, remains Muksa, even if circumstances change. So what would be the halacha on this food? So the Shalmei Nadarim says it wouldn't be Muksa. Because since, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, the Kala Nadaris of Das Bala in Nadaris, when a married woman makes a neder, she makes it recognizing she needs the consent of her husband. A girl calling the deris of das aviha in the deris. A single girl makes a nether based on her father's consent. So she knows that there's always the potential that the father, the husband, are going to be made for the nether. And if they're going to be made for the nether, then the nether will become nullified, and this wouldn't be muksa. And something which is not definitely muksa is not muksa anymore. What's going to be the halacha if a woman makes a neder bein shmashes? So Rekiv Eiger discusses this issue because it's a complicated issue. Because we know that the halacha views the time of bein shmashes as a suffix. We're not quite clear, is it day, is it night? So let's say a woman makes a neder one moment of bein shmashes, and the husband will be made for the neder immediately after he hears the nether. But it's a minute after he heard the nether. So why should we not be concerned that the moment she said the nether, it was still today, but the moment he's being made for the nether, it's already the next day. And as we just learned in the Mishnah, once the next day comes, the halacha is that it's too late to be made for the nether. So he says a very interesting chiddush. He says, even though we're learning the opinion of our Mishnah very clearly, that you could only be made for the nether till the end of today, even as we just explained when we learned the Mishnah, it might only represent a couple of minutes, but Chazal, the Torah, had to give us some time. So if you hear the nether during Bein Hashmashes, and we're going to have to be concerned, as we just said, that maybe the nether was said during today, and the Afara is already taking place tonight, after today, and therefore it shouldn't be a valid Afara. So it turns out that this is a nether that could have never been Mufar. And the Torah clearly gave the husband and the father the ability to be made for the Dharm. So, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, they have the entire Bein Hashmashes period to be made for. But Rabbi Kiva Eger does say, that even though he's being lenient and let the father, husband be made for the entire duration of Bein Hashmashes, once Bein Hashmashes is over, they will not be able to be made for the nether. The reason we won't be able to be made for the nether is because afterwards, that's already the next day. And Bein Hashmashes truly may be still today, and there we can't be lenient and allow that for him. Our Mishnah uses very interesting language. The Mishnah says, L'hokl u'lahachmer. So he says, ask the Ragged Shover. We learned, our Mishnah is the opinion that you have till the end of the day. It may just mean, as we just learned, a couple of moments. We're going to learn the Gemara immediately, that the other opinion is that you always have 24 hours. So ask the Ragged Shover, When it says lahakal lahachmer, normally how do we understand when a Mishnah uses that type of terminology? The way we typically understand what the Mishnah means to say is, I have two opinions, and there's a kula, there are leniencies of an opinion, and there's chumrah, and there are chumras in the opinion. Where is there a leniency in the opinion that only gives you till the day, till the night? It may, as we just learned in the Mishnah indeed, represent more time. It may indeed represent less time, but it's certainly always going to be less than the next opinion that we're about to learn in the Gemara that gives you 24 hours. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says a chiddush. He quotes a Yerushalmi, the Ragachev, I mean, quotes a Yerushalmi. What happens if during the Yom Shammai, there's a period during that time where the husband, the father, were incapacitated and cannot make a hafara? What would be the halacha? The halacha is that here, the man, the omer that says that you have only till the end of the day will actually represent the leniency, he explains. And in that case, the halacha will be that those hours during which he was incapacitated, he will not count, and he'll get a makeup for those hours after the Yom Shammai. Versus the man d'amar that says that you have 24 hours, the man d'amar that says you have 24 hours, you only have 24 hours. And if even during those 24 hours, something happened that prevented you from being able to say the nether, it wouldn't make a difference. The halacha would be that the nether, once the 24 hour passes, you lose it no matter what. Says the Gemara, as we just said, Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Hafaras Nadarim Kol Hayoyim, that you can have Hafaras Nadarim till the night. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amru, Meis Leis. You get 24 hours to do a Hafara. By time of Tanakama, ask them, what is the reason that the Tanakama says you only have till the night? Says the Gemara, the Amr Krab, Yom Shomai. And after night, it's no longer Yom Shanai. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who say that you have 24 hours, my tamayu, what is the basis of their reasoning? Says the Maradik Siv, the Torah is saying by Yom Al Yom means that you have a full 24 hours. And as I saw, the Chassam Sofer explains that what is the basis for this opinion? He says that the Torah normally doesn't speak in periods of 24 hours. The Torah normally speaks in day. Every day is a separate day. Why over here, asked the Chassam Sofer, are we counting hours? We're counting 24 hours. So he says that the whole concept behind Yom Shammai, is that we want to give the husband, the father, a chance to contemplate, should I be Mekayim? So this opinion holds that if we're going to just give it till the end of the day, he won't have enough time to make that decision. So even though normally it may not necessarily mean 24 hours, here it does. So again, my time Tanakam, the Makrabi Yom Shammai, Rabbanan, my Tamayu that says 24 hours, the Ksimi Yom Al Yom. Ask the Gemara, but what will the Tan of our Mishnah do with this pasuk? Well, Tanakama Ksim Yom Al Yom. Doesn't the pasuk clearly say Miyom Al Yom? Answers the Gemara Itzrach. Di Miyom Shammai. If I would only have the pasuk Miyom Shammai, Hava Mina, we would think that Miyom in Belaila Loi, that Hafara could only take place by day and night by night. Because as we find many places where the Torah uses the word yom, it means specifically by day. The best example I could give is regarding the Dalaminim. The Torah says Shivas Yomim, and we know that you could only do the mitzvah of Dalaminim Am Sukkis by day. Ksiv Miyom Al Yom. That's why the Torah wrote the words Miyom Al Yom, is to teach us that you could do Hafaras Nadarim even by night. Ask the Gemara now on the other side, which he uses to teach us that Hafaras Nadarim is 24 hours, what does he do with the pasuk Miyom Shammai? It's true. If we only were left with the pasuk miyoyim al yoyim, we would actually think hava mina michad b'shabbos l'chad b'shabbos leifalai. It doesn't mean 24 hours. It means a whole week. And if a woman made a neder on Sunday, she gets until next Sunday. So that's why the Torah says b'yoyim shamay, 24 hours, but not more, not a whole week. Amar b'shimim ben Pazi, Amar b'shu ben Levi. And Alocha Kaisa Azog, that Noch is not like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Rabbi Lezer, who held that you can be made for 24 hours. Rather, the Alocha is like the Tanakama, like the opinion of our Mishnah, that you only have until the end of the day. It says the Levi Saval Mevikani Tanoi, to give 24 hours. Amalei Rav, so Rav said, Hachi Omer Chavivi. We know that whenever Rav referred to Rabbi Chia, who was his uncle, he therefore called him Chivivi, the one I love, and Allah Kaisazog. The Gemara, interestingly, goes off for a moment to speak about the Allah of Ataras Nadarim. Even though we're going to have this discussion later, the Girs of Al Gemara has it here. The Gemara says, Chiba Rav Shadi Gira. Chiba Rav was busy shooting arrows, Ubadik. And while he was shooting the arrows, people came to ask him to be matan neder, and he didn't stop. He continued what he was doing, was matan neder. Rav Rav Huna, when somebody came to be matan neder, Yosef Kaim, he would do it either sitting or standing. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means to say, as we've discussed many times in our shurim, when it comes to Ataras Nadarim, there are two ways to be matan neder. We typically, when we speak about Ataras Nadarim, speak about the Rav finding a Pesach, saying, well, were you aware of this situation? And as we often have discussed, what that actually really means is that what he's doing is he's turning the nether into a nether toss, that it was said under a mistake. In such a case, you need to be able to think, and you can't be preoccupied with something else. And we know throughout Shas, when somebody needs to concentrate, he sits. He doesn't stand. What Al Gemara is saying, that these Amoraim held that you don't need to have a Pesach to be matan neder. Just the person who made the neder coming and saying that they have charata, they regret having said the neder, is adequate. Now the Gemara is very understandable. Because what the Gemara is teaching us is that regret, charata, is enough to be matan and neder. And charata, a person coming to the Rav and saying, I regret, doesn't require a lot of concentration. And that's why the Gemara teaches us that these people, even though they were preoccupied, they were standing, they were able to be matan neder, because all it required was just charata.